Welcome to the Not Old Better Show. I'm your host, Paul Vogelzang. Today's show is part of our Fitness Friday series sponsored by Health IQ. Go to healthiq.com/NOBS to support the show and learn more about the great healthy fitness-related life insurance quotes from Health IQ. Welcome to the Not Old Better Show, episode number 191. Today's show is another great one in our Fitness Friday series. We've got some excellent Fitness Friday news about fitness and dementia. And remember to check out the Health IQ quiz where you'll learn things about strength training, those stabilizers in the body like your core, so you work out safely and prevent falls, which are the leading cause of fatal injuries in older adults. Our guest today on Fitness Friday is returning exercise expert Sabrina Joe. Sabrina Joe is a certified trainer with the American Council on Exercise, ACE, and the director of science and research content there at ACE. Sabrina Joe will share research and exercise details about the subject of recovery in just a bit, but first, our Fitness Friday news.
The Not Old Better Show Fitness Friday news.
Here's the headline from the American Academy of Neurology, March 15th, 2018. Physically fit women nearly 90% less likely to develop dementia. Women with high physical fitness at middle age were nearly 90% less likely to develop dementia decades later compared to women who were moderately fit, according to this new study from the American Academy of Neurology. The study measured the women's cardiovascular fitness based on an exercise test. When the highly fit women did develop dementia, they developed the disease an average of 11 years later than women who were moderately fit or at age 90 instead of age 79. According to study author Helena Horder, PhD at the University of Gothenburg in Gothenburg, Sweden, these findings are exciting because it's possible that improving people's cardiovascular fitness in middle age could delay or even prevent them from developing dementia. However, this study does not show cause and effect between cardiovascular fitness and dementia. It only shows an association. More research is needed to see if improved fitness could have a positive effect on the risk of dementia, and also to look at when during a lifetime a high fitness level is most important. Dementia is the most feared disease and even more feared than cancer, according to many surveys. And if you want to stave off this dreaded disease, work your core, work hard, and be consistent to stay healthy and stay fit. We'll be right back with Sabrina Joe, American Council on Exercise, Director of Science and Research Content. But you know, speaking of health, nutrition, and fitness, as I mentioned, the Not Old Better Show is proudly sponsored by Health IQ. All the Not Old Better Show audience knows what a fitness fan I am, and with my love of fitness, I found a life insurance agency who loves fitness too and rewards those of us who exercise and lead healthy lifestyles with exclusive, special, and lower rates. Health IQ tells me that their customers save between 4 and 33% on their life insurance. In addition to savings, Health IQ has these great testimonials from USA Racquetball, US Masters Swimming, American Trail Runners Association, and many others. They're really great. And check out the Health IQ quiz, which is eye-opening and really fun to do. That's healthiq.com/NOBS. Check out Health IQ for more details and mention the Not Old Better Show. Thanks. Let me reintroduce you to Sabrina Joe, who, of course, has been with us previously. And let me give you my favorite quote from Sabrina Joe, which I love. Sabrina Joe says, "I want to help people start and stick with physical activity." I just love that. I just think that is so important. And Sabrina Joe, joining us today, will have lots of advice on doing just that, remaining physically active. So join me in welcoming via Skype from the American Council on Exercise, Director of Science and Research Content, Sabrina Joe. Sabrina Joe, welcome back. It's so great to talk to you again.
Thanks, Paul. It's great to be here.
With your expertise as a member of the ACE senior team, I found some research on the ACE website about recovery. I know that there is a distinction between recovery between sets of exercise and then actual exercise sessions. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the research, because I know it focuses more on this idea of between exercise sets, and then we'll jump into a kind of a broader definition of recovery, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Good.
The research that we recently published was around within workout recovery. And what I mean by that is we looked at some young men who worked out either an endurance method, like on a treadmill for, let's say, 40 minutes or so, or a very high intensity anaerobic power type of exercise set on a bicycle and or a stationary cycle. And so what we found was when we had those participants rest in between those different types of exercises, if they actually moved a little bit and did an active recovery, they performed better on their subsequent exercises. And a lot of times when you think of rest or recovery between sets or between exercise bouts, you might think of just simply standing around or sitting around, really just resting. And that's called passive rest. And what we found is that actually hinders your next set of exercise. So the using more energy after an intense exercise bout leads to better performance in the subsequent exercise bouts. And that might seem counterintuitive, but when it's done properly, active rest between exercise bouts can be sometimes twice as effective for recovery than simply just resting.
That's really helpful. So what can we learn from this research and this idea of recovery that we could then apply between exercise sessions? Because there's probably passive recovery, active recovery, and proper recovery that we need to bear in mind in between those days, those kind of off days. Is that a good way of putting it?
Yes. So what you're referring to are rest and recovery between days of working out.
Mm-hmm.
And then the study that I just described was looking at the recovery intervals between mm-hmm. sets of exercises within the same workout. And mm-hmm. so there are two ways to look at this, really. And I relate this to the general audience in terms of a trend that we've seen called high intensity interval training, or HIIT.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, right.
It's really popular these days.
HIIT.
HIIT. Yep.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And what that is it's just a method of exercise where you exercise at a very intense or vigorous intensity for several seconds or maybe even minutes, and then you back off and you rest or do something that's very light in intensity. And the reason that's so popular is because really anybody can do that type of exercise. It doesn't, mm-hmm. there are several programs and protocols out there to choose from, but whether you're a young athletic person, whether you're someone who hasn't exercised before and you're just getting into it, or whether you're a sedentary person looking to lose weight or improve your health, any of those types of people can do this type of interval training. So what I find interesting about the study that we did, even though it was on young men, mm-hmm. was that there could be some applications to the population as a whole if you take into account that during your rest or recovery intervals within your own workout, if you simply just keep moving, like just keep marching in place or walking around versus just having a seat between your intervals, you might actually perform better on your subsequent interval in terms of working out. Mm-hmm. So I find that to be interesting. But the other thing to consider is if you're going to engage in especially the high intensity type of exercise, you definitely need days of rest in between your workouts. And that's where we might also think of recovery in between workouts in terms of days. And what are you doing on those days that you're not performing that high intensity activity? Mm-hmm. And that can actually benefit you or maybe not benefit you, depending on how you're taking your recovery.
How so?
Well, if you're engaged in higher intensity activities, mm-hmm. whether it's weight training or whether it's getting out and really going for a hard bicycling ride, or even if it's maybe on the weekends you're doing some type of recreational competition where, let's say tennis, for example, where you're mm-hmm. not used to doing that very much, but you're really giving it your all and you're really going out and doing some high exertion while you're doing that, you do want to have some days of rest in between those high intensity efforts, because those high intensity efforts are stress to the body. And the only way that you get better at that type of activity is if you have recovery sessions in between where your body actually rests and heals.
So some of this is moderation, some of it's modification, but my age group, my general audience, is going to be interested in perhaps more rest in between a high intensity workout, and that rest might even need to be a little bit active in order to kind of stay limber and keep those muscles pliable for kind of the next exercise session. Would you agree with that?
I would definitely agree with that. And the reason is, if you work out to the point that makes you sore the next day or two, it is perhaps just, you know, intuition to not move or rest, maybe because it's uncomfortable. But the truth of the matter is, doing light activity between higher intensity activity workouts, like on the days that you're not doing the high intensity, if you do a light activity, whether it's just going for a walk or maybe even it's some type of restful yoga that keeps you moving, actually helps not only with the feelings of discomfort, because typically when you start to move again, you'll notice that that delayed onset muscle soreness goes away, but it also helps get oxygen and nutrients to those muscles, which helps with healing and perhaps even better recovery or faster recovery.
Sabrina Joe, I just knew that you would give us the answers to this. Your expertise is just so valuable. So it's almost as though the recovery period can still allow us to burn some calories, but still keep us on track for getting back into exercise the next day.
It is exactly that. And if one of your concerns is a weight management, then certainly being active will definitely burn those calories, like you said. But there's also other benefits to not sitting still, even if you're slightly sore from a previous workout. And when we have delayed onset muscle soreness, and we decide to, let's say, just sit on the couch as a result of it, then we're really putting those cardiometabolic markers at risk. So things that have to do with your blood pressure, blood cholesterol, blood sugar, things that may not translate to, looking or feeling a certain way during a workout or post-workout, but are certainly important in terms of heart health and vessel health. You want to stay on top of those things and continue to move, even with light activity, even if you are sore.
And so you've mentioned soreness a couple times, and I want to dig into this a little bit, because for me, you know, at my age, I'm 60, I want to push. And sometimes I might even mistake soreness for pushing in a good way, but I might need some additional recovery. But is soreness the kind of thing we want to look at that keeps us on the right track, or is it something we want to make sure and avoid?
I'm glad you brought this up, because for some reason, we're, as a society, enthralled with becoming sore. And in any other instance, we would avoid pain like crazy, but for some reason with exercise, we're always trying to go for the pain. And that's just simply not true. What muscle soreness is, in fact, is a destruction of the connective tissue and that surrounds the muscle fiber itself. And so a little bit of that is fine. It's okay for healing and rebuilding so that you actually come back stronger the next workout. Too much of that, however, puts you in a state of soreness that can last for several days. I mean, I've had muscle soreness where I hit it way too hard and I was sore for, you know, up to 4 or 5 days afterwards. That's ridiculous. That's too much. Mm-hmm. And it's not necessary to become stronger and get all the benefits of exercise. So the other thing to consider is that people respond differently, and there's a large genetic component to whether you're a high responder to being sore after a workout. And what that means is that your genetic makeup will dictate basically how frequently and how hard you want to train. Mm-hmm. And you might find that you have someone of similar abilities and even the same age as you, and you do the same workout, and it might affect you the next several days a lot harder than it did than your companion. And again, that just has to do with your individual factors and genetic makeup. So the best thing that I can say when I'm helping to coach my own clients is that pay attention to how your body feels, pay attention to the soreness, mm-hmm. because it's not going to do you any benefit to try to push through a muscle that's already sore. There needs to be time for healing, recovery, rejuvenation, so that when you hit your exercise again, you're ready to go and you're not hampered by stiffness or soreness.
That's really helpful. Thank you for that. Thanks for that detail. It's always so great to talk to you. And last question for you, Sabrina Joe, because I know you're very busy and we sure value your time. Is there a nutrition component to recovery?
There certainly is. When you're exercising, your muscle tissue uses carbohydrates for contraction and exertion. And your body also uses fat for fuel and a little bit of protein as well. So when you're thinking of nutrition for recovery, you want to think of eating a balanced meal plan actually before and after. And the truth is, you don't have to get too concerned about eating immediately after a workout. There has been some articles circulating that will tell you that you must eat protein within 30 minutes of a workout or your muscles will fall off your body. And that's just not true. And what we know is that if you just eat throughout the day, you know, at regular intervals, every few hours or so, and it could be 3 meals a day, it could be meals plus snacks. It kind of depends on what kind of eater you are. But if you're eating a good balance of particularly carbohydrate and protein with a little bit of fat mixed in at regular intervals throughout the day, you're going to be fine in terms of replenishing your muscles for activity.
That's so great to know. Thank you so much, Sabrina Joe, Director of Science and Research Content for the American Council on Exercise, ACE. Sabrina Joe, we are going to definitely have you back. It's just such a great thing to have you here and get all of the details behind this, and we know you know it well.
I really look forward to that. Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Sabrina. My thanks to the American Council on Exercise and Sabrina Joe for joining us today and all their help in developing this particular program. If you want to learn more about Sabrina Joe and ACE, please check out our website. And thanks to all of you, my wonderful audience, for your absolutely encouraging, advice-driven emails with show and topic suggestions. Please keep them coming at info@notold-better.com. And thanks again to Health IQ. Join me for our next show, another great one, as we talk about better. The Not Old Better Show. Thanks, everybody.